Good morning, Taz. Hello.
Good morning, Paula. How are you?
Well, for our listeners, we want them to know that this is the Taz and Paula Show, where we can be heard worldwide.
We are, with views not heard in the news. And
yes.
I'm Taz Powers.
And I'm Paula Nunes. And hold on, we're waiting for James. He'll be here in a minute. Do you want to start introducing him while I give him a call?
Sure, I can do that. Well, you know, most recently James has been featured in John Savage's and Michael Knight's documentary, Contact Has Begun, and his story with James Gilliland. James Gilliland is our guest this morning, and he is the key figure in the documentary that I just spoke about, Contact Has Begun. And this movie is also featured in The Veil is Lifting and the new soon-to-be-released movie, Thrive. Oh, my goodness.
We have James with us.
Oh, great. Well, James, welcome. You are creating your own little city where people can experience the universe in a whole different way.
Yes, it's getting very interesting here.
I can hardly hear him, hon.
Oh, you can hear him? Oh, can you speak up?
Yeah, is that good?
Yeah, louder, James, okay?
See, okay. I can turn up my
volume.
How's that?
Oh, that's better.
Is that
absolutely
better?
Absolutely.
Well, it sounds like that you're putting what's the town that you live in? Trout Lake?
Trout Lake.
Yes, it looks like that you're putting Trout Lake on the map.
Yeah, pretty much. They're all pretty happy here because the town wasn't doing very well at all. You know, it's basically kind of a Baptist logging community, and they've been closing down the forest quite a bit, and you know, everything was kind of in the toilet here, and all the businesses were not doing too well, but we've kind of turned that around.
Now, your Isetti ranch is actually on the border of Oregon and Washington, but actually in the state of Washington, is that correct?
Yes, it's right off the Columbia River. It's about 20 minutes away.
Now, we have told the audience that there's UFO sightings almost daily there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you find the ranch?
Well, basically, I had a lot of visions. I had the near-death experience, and I was on a real intense spiritual quest. And I kept seeing the ranch in visions over and over and again, and I took a map out of the United States and actually used a form of divination to find out where this vision was, and they put me right exactly on Trout Lake, which was interesting. But and the funny thing about it is I threw the map in my closet, buried it, and forgot about it, and I ended up here anyway. So
that's funny. So you were just driving and actually drove to that area and found it without the map?
No, yeah, I was offered a job here in Hood River, Oregon, just on the other side of the river, and it felt right. I was just going on my inner guidance, and it felt really strong. You know, this is what you need to do. So I just went by that and was working at an import shop where we imported clothing and carvings and things from around the world. And so I was doing that in Santa Cruz, and we decided to open another shop up in Hood River. So I went there. My brother did it, and I went and worked for him. But the shop where the shop was, I'd look up through the valley, and there was the mountain, exactly like the visions. And in the visions, I saw this huge mountain and a little mountain behind it and a beautiful river on the eastern border. And I kept seeing the words Little Mountain, and it made no sense to me whatsoever. Why would they say Little Mountain when there's this massive mountain in front of me? You know. And then I found out it was on Little Mountain Road.
Oh, wow. That gives me the chills.
Yeah.
And we've had you as a guest on our show before,
mm-hmm.
and you told us some of the miracles that were happening to you as you were actually building the resort, ranch.
Mm-hmm.
You want to share some of those miracles with us?
Well, it's been, you know, a lot of trials, but also a lot of miracles along with them. And just building the ranch, materials would show up out of nowhere, and, you know, as I was building, exactly what I needed would just manifest, and people would drive up the driveway. with lumber or shingles. We were putting the roof on, and we had it a third done, and we were out, and I just was meditating, and I had actually Baba G come into me when I was meditating. He said, "Don't worry, the shingles will be there." And as soon as we put the last shingle on, I had a guy helping me, and a friend of his too, and they're laughing at me. And I said, "Don't worry, they'll be here." And they're laughing. And then sure enough, a truck with a load full of shingles came driving up the driveway. And this guy said, "Hey, I have all these extra shingles. I have no use for them. Do you want them?" And I said, "Sure." So, and it happened twice. We got the other third done, and then another guy talked to the guy that dropped the shingles on, and he came up and he sold me the rest of the shingles I needed for next to nothing. So, it's ongoing. Just things like that just kept happening. And windows, you know, people would donate windows, and they'd fit perfectly. All the angles would be just right, and it just kept going like that.
So you actually have a large building where people can have conferences. In fact, you're going to have a conference in July, but
mm-hmm.
people can have workshops and conferences at your ranch. Is that correct?
Exactly. I just finished some training with a Kunlun master. It's a very ancient form of Qigong, and the best way I can explain, a lot of people don't know what it is, but I went through training with him, and then one of his main teachers is coming here to teach that practice. It's a very powerful practice, a very simple one. And so we'll be doing that, having workshops with that. I have Nahi, Hawaiian Kahuna, which I met over while I was in Maui, and she's going to be coming, I believe, on the 22nd. It's on the website. But she'll be coming out and doing a workshop in personal counseling, and she does things in the Huna tradition, but she's also part Native American, too, so she blends both of them together.
Oh, wow, that sounds great.
And yeah, we just have ongoing thing, and then we have the big Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference in July 3rd, I believe that begins, and we just have an incredible lineup.
Oh, I know. I was looking at the speakers that you going to have for that particular conference, and you've got some really big name speakers coming in.
Yeah,
James, what's the phone number?
I haven't added them all to the site yet, but I have three or four women. I'm trying to get this thing balanced out, you know, equally with male and female. And it's funny because a lot of the women that are in our field have kind of just fallen by the wayside. They've kind of just given up. I think they got tired of getting beat up by the old patriarchal program, you know.
Yeah.
Especially in the UFO field. And some of them that I knew were very clear and covered the positive aspect of it are no longer involved. They're just stepping out. And I've had some speakers that I had lined up here that are about ready to throw in the towel. They're done with the nonsense, you know, and all the, you know, the hype and the fear and the suspense and all the negativity, and it just seems that it's gone so commercial that the really positive side of contact is not even being addressed anymore.
Now, we'll let people know what your website is now, and we can, at the end of the hour, tell them again, but it's eseti.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's ECETI.org, and he has all his events listed there, and it's really a great website.
Thank you.
Well, James, give us an idea what it's like as we drive up your driveway, and what do we see around us, surrounding us?
Well, basically, when you're coming up the driveway, you're actually, there's forest on your left and some really beautiful little camping areas and a little creek there. And then as soon as you start coming in, you look to the right and you just see this awesome mountain. Mount Adams, which is very majestic. It's just beautiful. And the energy, as soon as you get on the ranch, you get really high. You start feeling the high frequencies and the energy. And to the right, as you're coming in, is this massive field. It's a pretty big field, and it's Neck and Asia Field, actually. And that's the Field of Dreams. That's where all kinds of paranormal things and and that's where we film the UFOs. We've actually had landings there in the past. It's just a very, very high-energy place. And people that bring up digital cameras or even regular film with emulsion film, they film all kinds of orbs and light spheres and columns of light coming down and, you know, unexplainable things. We got some beautiful lavender columns of light coming down just last weekend. And there's no source for this. You know, it's not taken towards the sun. It's not a sun flare. But we have pictures of people standing there, and the column is coming right down on them, and they just have these huge grins on their faces, you know, and they're being altered, you might say, or by these huge light columns. So there's just all kinds of things going on here.
So you call light columns, are they clear white, or are they colorful, or?
Well, they're lavender or violet. The ones that we got on film, they kind of switch from almost like a purple to a lavender or a violet and back and forth.
Can you see it with the naked eye?
I can, but some people can't. You know, it's just like the orbs. Some people can see them with the naked
mm-hmm.
eye. And, you know, the more you meditate and do your spiritual practices, the more the veils come down and you can remember what happens, you know, in your sleep and your dreams, and you can start seeing the other planes and dimensions, you know, that are surrounding us, but we're just not aware of them because our eyes can only, you know, focus on just a small amount of the light spectrum. But, you know, we're surrounded by a multidimensional universe, but we're only aware of a very small fraction of it.
Now, James, I want to ask on the when you're doing the camera and you're rolling the camera, do you see like a funnel that goes down over the people, or what? I mean, or is it surrounding them like in a ball, or how do you see it?
Well, the way we filmed it, it's just a straight beam coming down.
Okay.
And it's a column. It's a column, and it's the exact same size going up all the way down.
Now, James, quite a long time ago, I had an experience, and why I'm asking you, I was actually in a church,
mm-hmm.
and this column surrounded me. It was literally, I could see out, but I knew that I was encased in a column, and it was just a little bit bigger around than my body. And but it was coming from above. I could look up. I could see the light strictly down, and I couldn't hear as well when I was in the column. It was interesting. And I couldn't hear the people around me, but I was definitely encased in the column.
Yeah,
you're
outside of that frequency. When you're in that column, you're not fully present in that three-dimensional reality. So
yeah, I wasn't. Definitely, I was not. And so that's why I was being real specific, because I've, you know, not heard of anyone, you know, experiencing that before, but... So, and it wasn't lavender at all or anything, but it was like a white light I could really see, and I thought that was really strange.
Yeah, we've had that happen here. I had a Qigong master here, and we were sitting in the living room, and actually before that, I was actually making spaghetti, and I didn't sit down eating my dinner, and all of a sudden this column of white light just appeared in the middle of my living room. And when I saw it, I go, okay, this is interesting. You know, what is this? And I had a lot of pain. I'd been working really hard all day, early in the morning till night. My legs and back were killing me. And it started moving towards me. And as soon as I put the thought in, like, okay, who are you? It stopped. And it sat there for a second. And I started, you know, sensing it, what it was. And I just felt this pure love and bliss and real high energy. And then... As soon as I sensed what it was and I felt good about it, it moved towards me again.
Cool.
And it just moved right over me. And I sat in it for a while, and I just was completely healed. I just felt all energized. And what's funny is that the next day I was supposed to do a counseling for this guy, and I just said, you know, I am just too tired to deal with this, to get in my car and drive all the way over to this place. And I thought about... you know, not doing it, and then I was just totally healed, and I went over there and I did some work with him and several of his friends too as well, so it kind of got me, you know, put back together so I could go and do this other work. So I've seen all different colors. We've seen green, we've seen light ladders appear that look like a ladder, and they'll have green and purple and blue and like violet and pink in them, all different colors. Like almost looks like a ladder coming down. And you know, it's ongoing. I mean, I've seen so many things, I just kind of go, that's interesting. I don't even try to figure it out half the time.
Well, probably the more energy that's being built on the ranch, because, you know, the more people coming and the more energy that's being built, more things are, it's creating more things,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like.
Yeah, we had a man here, and actually we have him on film. And what's interesting, he was a Mormon scientist, and he actually he's a school administrator now. So he had all this left brain science, and he came out here with his two sisters, and they had a lot of division in the family, and he just thought they were crazy. And but the only way he could spend some time with them is to go camping with them out here on the ranch. And so he called them his woo-woo sisters, and he said, well, you know, I love them. I'll just go hang out with them, use them, but at least I'll be able to spend some time with them. So they brought him here, and he was really skeptical at first, and then the next thing you know, he started seeing the light spheres appear, and he got them on film, and that blew his mind. And then the ship started coming in and powering up, and he couldn't explain that. So we brought out the laptop out there and showed him, you know, that, look, here's the satellites flying over our area right here. Here's NASA's J-Tracker and everything called Heavens Above, and said, you know, what are, you know, there's only one or two objects here overhead right now. Why are we seeing 30 to 50, you know? And so he couldn't explain that. And then this massive triangle ship flew over, and that just pushed him over the edge, you know? So.
Well, you were reading my mind, because I was going to ask if many skeptics come out, and if they leave
mm-hmm.
With a different process of thinking.
Yeah, well, he had a broken wrist as well, and he couldn't even touch anything with it. He was in a lot of pain. And I told him, I said, you know, they can heal too as well if you, you know, put the antenna out there. You have to initiate and ask for help. But, you know, why don't you? I said, what have you got to lose? And so he kind of sat out there till three in the morning, and finally says, okay, you know, if you do have this ability to heal, I would, you know, love to have some help here with my wrist. And then he just fell asleep. He doesn't remember what happened after that, but when he woke up, his you know, the next morning he was hitting his banging his hand on the table and everything, and said, there's no pain whatsoever. And he went and they checked it out, and they said it's healed, and they cut his cast off.
Oh, wow. Now, have you been able to see sightings from the very first time you stepped foot in the property?
You know, there wasn't much. I mean, I would see things up high now and then, and I just didn't really put a lot of energy into it, because I was on a very spiritual quest. We were teaching self-mastery courses here and inner sensitivity training classes, and bringing a lot of yogis and lamas and, you know, authors and teachers here, just mainly to assist in the awakening and healing process. And what I found out is that when we reached a certain level, that, you know, basically contact comes with enlightenment. And once we've made a commitment to our own awakening healing and can hold a vibration or maintain a frequency that, you know, is basically these beings are very, very spiritually and technologically advanced beings. They're very evolved, and so we have to rise to the occasion. And that's what I learned, is that we're doing it all wrong, and the people that are trying to prove that UFOs exist and all this other stuff, I mean, it's getting really old. We're not going to have contact that way until we rise to the occasion. So it's kind of to me it's so old. I think it's gone so far beyond proving that they're here. Let's find out why they're here, and, you know, if these beings have transcended war and disease and they've cleaned up their environment and they have these incredible technologies, why don't we engage them? Why don't we ask them for help? And that's our focus, is how can this assist the awakening and healing of humanity, the earth, not rather than getting into the fear and the suspense and making a very dark picture out of it.
Now, the sightings and the contact that you have, are they from the same group, or are they from different groups? Or are they coming in from...
There's a lot of different groups here, and some groups you could not tell them from a human. They could walk right alongside of us, and if you weren't sensitive to their frequency, you wouldn't even know they were here. so you would just be very attracted to them. You'd feel like a loving frequency coming from them, and for some reason you'd be very attracted to them, and you wouldn't know why. But and there's some beings that are just beautiful beings. There's some that are also part of the human experience that are much taller and thinner than we are. There's some that look very bizarre because the body is an adaptation to environment, and there's different environments out there. So there's some really small, short beings. There's some that, you know, wear robes, and they have really big heads and real large jaws. They would be very intimidating if you couldn't sense their frequency and their vibration, but they're very, very ancient and very wise and very loving.
Are there some that are actually here on Earth as teachers, and we think of them as being a human, but they're actually coming in just to teach?
Well, there's a huge wave of them here to assist in the awakening and healing process, and a lot of them stay in the unseen and work from those levels, and there's a lot of people that are being contacted and you know, experiencing a major awakening and healing from these beings, but they don't want any credit for it, and they don't want to be worshipped, and they don't want to be feared either, so they're not really aware of where this energy is coming from, this higher consciousness and energy. And a lot of that is going on, but they select some people that are ready, that can handle it, to appear to see them, to see what they look like. And you know, the bottom line is that when you come into the fields of one of these beings and they have incredible energy emanating from them, from their aura, there's a quickening that happens. And so if you're filled with a lot of fear and anger and jealousy and guilt and all that lower vibrational stuff, it all just comes up. And so they can't really, you know, appear and sit down with you and have a cup of tea with you, because you'd turn over in your mind. I mean, everything would just come up for you, so you'd have a hard time with it.
Are any of them working with government officials?
You know, from my understanding, I've heard they are. They have a very hard time working with any, you know, government officials, mainly because of the consciousness there.
Yeah.
And so from my understanding, there was a lot of low-level contact, and that's coming to a close, that was working with the government, and it wasn't really in our highest and best good. But the higher beings were always there, always offering, always putting, you know, peace on the table, saying if you choose peace and to clean up your consciousness and your environment and live in harmony with each other and the planet, we'll come in and we'll help you with the technology. But, you know, this same technology could be used destructively, and so we can't really give this to you. You have to prove you're ready for it. And unfortunately, you know, it's not to be judgmental, but most of the people in office or in that seek those positions of power over others almost always betray a trust, and they abuse that power. So their consciousness, they're seeking power and wealth at any expense, and that service side has kind of gone out the door. And there's not a lot of people with pure intent and, you know, open minds and loving heart, you know, operating within our government. And the ones that are in there are just getting beat up. There's people like Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich, and there's others. I'm not real political, but they've shown a very high degree of integrity and trying to do what's highest and best good for humanity and the earth, and they've been very outspoken, but they're greatly outnumbered by, you know, those that are just seeking their own self-interest and their own, you know, power and material wealth, and they've sold out to all the major corporations, you might say.
Well, Jimmy Carter, you know, he admitted to a sighting, but then he had to backpedal because he was made fun of.
I think there's four or five presidents that have admitted. I just sent an email out that had all the different presidents and the astronauts and, you know, top people in government that have come forward and talked about, you know, yes, they are here, they do exist. Edgar Mitchell has really gone vocal about it. So, you know, it's very strong out there. But, you know, what's sad is that because there's been such a strong effort to ridicule and create the giggle factor and discredit people that, you know, these guys have an enormous hurdle to overcome. And it takes a lot of courage to come forward and just say, look, you know, get over it. They're here, you know.
Well, some countries, as an example, Mexico, they just take it for granted that they're out there. We know it. So.
Yeah, I was just in Mexico, and I did a couple talks, and I left the movie down there, and they showed it at some of these places. I went to Jalapa and Sayulita, and so I left DVDs with them, and they show them there on a regular basis. But what I found out was you go down there, and you start talking about UFOs, and they go, so what? You know?
Yeah, it's common.
You know, there's no resistance. There's nothing. They just accept it, and they see it as more of a very spiritual thing. And nothing to be afraid of. And if you look into the history of UFOs, there's frescoes all over Europe, and we have those on our website with UFOs in them. So every ancient culture, the Vedic scriptures talk about the ships, the different kinds of ships, how they operate. You know, they say there's physical ships, there's energy ships, and some ships are magnetized light, and some ships are just pure consciousness, and there's beings on these ships on every level. So They talk about, I think, something like 400,000 humanoid beings in the universe that are on these ships. So it's some astronomical number. But it's always been a part of our history, but the past 60 years, ever since Roswell, there's been a real strong movement to discredit anybody that talks about it or does any research in this area.
Well, you just spoke about your movie. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your movie, your film?
Yeah, actually, the movie when it first came out was something like $29.95. It was really expensive, and we just dropped it down. All of us agreed the message is too important, and we dropped it down to $19.95 or something like that, or $99, I'm not sure. But its contact has begun, and you can go to the website at, you know, eSETI.org to check it out. It's also being picked up by, I think, Netflix or something like that. It's just recently that's in the works.
Terrific.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it's theater quality. It's done really well, and it covers everything from Earth changes to UFOs to near-death experiences. It just covers the whole enchilada.
Now, James, you've been on Coast to Coast and Jeff Renz's sightings on the radio and Laura Lee and Sean David Morton and many, many different talk shows, and you have at one point demonstrated charging 9 batteries. Is that correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So what happens? You actually pick up the batteries and you can charge them?
Excuse me. Yeah. People come all the time. When they're filming the movie, this guy came up and he forgot his charger, and he had a very exotic camera with the batteries are very exotic, and he says, you know, He goes, there's no way you'd have a charger for this. And I said, well, let me see your battery. And he goes, it's not going to work. He said, you know, this is a real kind of a strange camera. And I said, just give me your battery. And he gave it to me. And so while I was doing the interview, and I tossed it back to him about 20 minutes later, and he plugged it in, he looked at it, and it was charged, you know, all the way up.
Well, you're a handy person to have around.
Yeah. So I do that with people all the time when we're out in the field and their cameras are dead. And I said, give me your batteries. And I just hold them for a couple minutes and give them back to them, and they're charged up again.
Now, how did you learn that you could do this?
You know, nobody told me I couldn't.
I mean, is there anything you feel in your body that you knew that you could do it, or it just so happened you accidentally found out, or what happened?
Well, you know, in studying, you know, I worked with biophysicists and for 7 years and studying the human body and looking at, you know, the voltage in the human body. We have enough voltage in it to light up an entire football field, and just enormous amount. You know, when people do that spontaneous combustion, they're just short-circuiting, basically, and they just go up in a big blue flame. But we have just an incredible amount of if you take the energy in each cell, you know, it's a little generator, and add that up, you have like trillions of volts available. So I thought about it, and I said, well, why not, if we have this much voltage, why can't we just transfer this to others and assist them in their own healing process or awakening? And then I took it even further. I said, you know, if I get out of the way and just become like a hollow tube and let this energy flow through me into the battery, let's see what happens. And so I just grabbed a couple batteries and held them and then threw them back in the camera. And it was at a time where I had some really incredible events happening. I wanted to get them on film. My camera died, and I went, damn, you know. And so I just kind of pulled them out, and I just was holding them for a minute and threw them back in and then got the photos that I wanted. So, you know, it just, I don't know. It just made sense to me. It didn't make sense that we couldn't do it.
Well, I'm the opposite. I can stop watches. I wear a watch, they stop.
You know, if you wear them on your, do you wear them on your left hand?
Yes,
You got to put it on your right hand.
Okay.
And then you'll charge the battery.
Okay.
Yeah, if you put them in your left hand, the way the energy goes, it receives through your left hand. So now there's a different type. In Kundalini, they teach a different type of energy that's a magnetic energy, and it's not polarized. So you can work with that through either hand, but through charging batteries, I put them in my right hand. Just hold them.
Back to your film. How long did it take to actually create the whole film?
Well, I think they worked on it for about a year, almost. It was quite a while. There's just phenomenal special effects. And, you know, when they did the near-death experience and the special effects for that, I was blown away. It was almost like reliving the whole thing. And it's just amazing. They showed going through the tunnel and going through all these levels and then ending up in this golden white, just plane of bliss, which is where I ended up. And I had a conversation with this being there, and it was kind of like I was a light being. I was unique yet one, and there's a greater consciousness and energy surrounding me, and I was having a conversation with it. But it was the most loving, joyous, blissful thing you can imagine.
Now, have you talked to other people that have had the same experience?
You know, I have, but I find out that people's near-death experiences directly relate to their belief system and their consciousness, and so they are magnetized to a level that matches their consciousness. And so, you know, if you have a lot of fear and guilt and unworthiness and you haven't dealt with that, a lot of times you'll go to a level where other people are on that same level and they're working that out.
James, before I forget, let's just take a minute here and let people know that we're talking with James Gilliland, and his website is eceti.org, and that's eceti.org. We've had a couple phone calls just letting you know that people are interested here.
Oh, wow. We always get a lot of good response when you're on, James.
Oh, that's nice. I did a thing here with AM Northwest, and I had, I think it's Brian Williams, one of the Beach Boys. I'm not sure if it's Williams. I'm trying to remember his last name. I think it is. But he went on, and the phones rang, you know, pretty good. And then they had me on right afterwards, and all their lines were taken over. It was pretty funny.
Now, do you have a radio show yourself?
You know, I do. It's called As You Wish Talk Radio, and it's at bbs.com. So if you just go to bbsradio.com or if you go to eceti.org, either one, it'll have a link in there. And it's at 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, and people can, you know, sometimes we bring the phone right out to the field where the cameras are rolling and everything, and you can partake in the experience and hear everybody screaming and, you know, hooting and hollering when the ship's coming in and just having their minds blown.
So does this happen every night?
Well, if we have clear skies, like, you know, it was busy last night, but even though it was cloudy, there was a lot of activity up there. But the night before last, we filmed just phenomenal. We had like six ships in one frame moving in all different directions. And it's hard to get them because I could get three in there, and then I had to move over, and the other three were next to it. And when you have six ships there all at the same time going in all different directions, it's pretty obvious these are not satellites, but you know, when you only have one or two a night, you know, in the area. And we have these ships powering up. They come in and they just power up and get enormous so we can see them and pulse the people here in the field. And we have, I got a really good one the other night that came behind us and went behind the trees and flew really low behind the house, and it's just a huge light.
Now, for people just tuned in, James Ranch is actually in Trout Lake, Washington, and it's E-SETI Ranch. So if anybody's traveling up that way, they can stop and actually observe and be in this wonderful atmosphere and actually see some sightings. Now, are the sightings, I know some people, are the sightings depend on the energy of the people that are there, or?
No, it really does. If you have a very focused group that without any lot of fear and skepticism or whatever, they'll come in lower and they'll really make an appearance. If there's somebody that's really important to their cause, like, you know, we've had triple PhD Boeing engineers here, and people out of Skunk Works, and we had the ships come in real low and flew right over them, and they were just massive. And what was interesting is at the time I was actually on Coast to Coast when this massive one came in, and these guys went on the air and testified on Coast to Coast that, you know, these were not our ships. They were just phenomenal, and they're far beyond any technology we have. You know, and then afterwards, the next day, they're freaking out about it. They go, we're probably going to get in big trouble for this, you know.
Well, Taz and I were talking this morning, and we said we want to come up and actually go to your ranch, and it just would be something phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, the thing about this, and this is a mind blower, is we've had literally, I was kind of doing the math, you know, getting a close figure, and we've had probably 10,000 people up here easily that have come up here and have seen the ships firsthand. And I was looking at Contact That Has Begun, and I Googled it, and there's 23 million hits off of this, and which is just phenomenal. So the information's out there. And with all of these, like Air Force base commanders and air traffic controllers and pilots and the professional witnesses that we've had on here, I've never seen anything like it. We're probably the most censored group on the planet, you know?
Now, the first time that we interviewed you, you talked about the helicopter, Black Hawk helicopters coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still doing that?
You know, every once in a while I see one. They've kind of stopped because they know we're filming them. And so when we come over, we film them, and they'll actually put it on the website. And we had black F-15s coming over that no markings on them, buzzing us very low. And we had these... I think they're warthogs, these marine warthogs come in really low, right over the house, and then they tip their wing. They come in really low, and then they tip their wing sideways, and they showed us they had these massive missiles on them and underneath them, or bombs or whatever. And it was the night I was going on Coast to Coast. You know, they came in, and it seemed to be like an intimidation run or something. I don't know what that was about. But, you know, I've already died once. So it's not that big a deal. I think it'd be hard to explain that they just nuked a private residence.
Yeah, it would be. Is there a military base nearby?
There are some way over in Washington towards Seattle in that area. There's some bases there, pretty far away. But, you know, what I think about, what are the odds of them going exactly over our house? You know, other than having a message, you know, or you know, there's 360 degrees they could be flying, you know, and to come directly over us and make it very clear.
Do you wave at them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we wave at them and film them. And I got some great footage of the black helicopters coming in. But, you know, they quit. They basically quit doing it. I saw one helicopter coming right straight towards the ranch, and all of a sudden it started going backwards. And I don't know how they're going to explain that one, but, you know, there is other beings here watching over us, and there is a lot of protection. But there's also a lot of, there's kind of a price to pay for coming forward with this kind of information. You know, if you're not on the fear and the suspense and the threat bandwagon, you know, there's a lot of resistance out there because, you know, they need to keep the war industry going and keep a threat going, and when you buck that system, they get a little upset.
So that's probably why they don't want to disclose anything. They want to keep us under their thumbs with fear, and if things opened up, the truth came out, we wouldn't be so fearful.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, until people realize that who's really running the country, you know, basically the war industry and the oil industry and the pharmaceutical industry, those are the big corporations that are running the country. And as long as that's happening and as long as all the politicians are in their back pocket, you know, we're never going to have universal peace, because that's bad business for the war industry. You know, we're not going to have fuelless energy technologies or clean energy technologies, because that's bad business, you know, for the oil boys and, you know, the pharmaceutical companies as well. You know, you're not going to see the end of disease because, you know, they're war and disease profiteers, these guys. And as long as that system is in place and continues, it's a no-brainer as to why, you know, we don't have peace and why we don't have these new technologies coming out, both healing and energy technologies, and why the cure for these diseases. And, you know, these beings are extremely advanced beings, and they've transcended war and disease, and they have their environments in order, and they have these technologies, and so that's why they are such a threat. But they're only a threat to those who want to keep us enslaved and stop our evolution.
Now, do you communicate with these beings?
Yes, I've been in communication with them for a long time.
So can they give you information on new technology and new healing techniques?
No, they can, and they have, and I know people they've been working with that they actually put some of this technology in their hands, and they have it right now, but the problem is getting it out. And I worked very hard trying to get that technology out, and you know, it's such a hard road to go, because you know, you have so much resistance against you, and there's so much money behind it, and there's so many people that have sold out and will do whatever they're told, you know, just if they have enough green pieces of paper, you know, given to them. So as long as those systems are in place, again, you know, this technology, we just can't get it out there. And, you know, people go, oh, just shotgun it out and do this and do that. You know, it's amazing that it's, you know, this sounds kind of defeating, but it's not. But we have a joke here: if vegetarians eat vegetables, what do humanitarians eat? And we've been dealing with all these so-called humanitarians, and when they get when they see it's real and we do have these technologies, and I put them in touch with these people that do have it, there's two things happen. One, they either freak out and they go, I'm not going to buck the system and lose my empire and put myself in jeopardy, or they say, or they try to steal it. It's unbelievable. People have no idea how infiltrated the energy movement is, and both the UFO community. They're heavily, heavily infiltrated and controlled, unfortunately.
Well, I know Tesla had technical, he was really ahead of time, and people stole things away from him.
Yeah, I think he drove a car coast to coast on a bottle of water or something like that, or, you know, he had these technologies. You know, back in the 40s, we had all this technology. So it's kind of sad how we've been manipulated for that long.
And I don't know if you've heard about this on Coast to Coast. I forget who the guest was, but he said in Sanskrit there are actual formulas that for free energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, you know, back when Sanskrit was.
Yeah.
Was
James,
crazy.
On your new movie coming out, do you have anything in there that shares some of this information, or and also I'd like to find out, you know, what were you excited about doing this movie? I mean, what really was exciting that you saw coming out that would be shared with a lot of people?
Well, you know, the message is very powerful, and there's pictures of the. You know, we had an artist do drawings, which were pretty accurate, of the beings and what they look like, and the ones that we've been engaged with regularly. And you know, it just gives a very benevolent message. It talks about life after death, about near-death experiences. It covers everything, and it covers what's very important right now is all of this information that I wrote some books, and one's Reunion with Source, and the other one's Becoming Gods, and it covers all this information back in 1982. And everything that's unfolding right now is in those books, and very accurately. So it talks about, you know, the sun and how the sun cycles, how they affect, you know, the planet, and that we're moving to a new place in the universe, which is highly energized. And, you know, it covers all these earth changes, and it talks about the, you know, social economic changes as well. And, you know, they cover just about everything. So I finally had somebody that were, when the producer came out, John Savage and Michael Knight, the co-producer, I finally had some people, you know, that came out that were conscious, that were more concerned with getting the message out and doing it accurately than they were with the making the almighty dollar. And they went, you know, far and beyond the call of duty to get things very accurate, and the special effects they came up with and the information was just phenomenal.
So there are actual fighting pieces in there where you can see people in the evening?
Yeah, there's in there you can see not the beings, but you can see the ships coming in, and two ships coming in at a time and powering up, and you can hear people's reaction to it. Some of the ships it shows are just extremely high technology, because they're, you know, the one of the ships, Blagi, which is a Palladian, and she's about 2 million years ahead of us as we know it. Very advanced beings, and her ship is just pure energy, and it's strange because it's pink in the middle, it's blue on the outside, and turquoise at the top of the bottom, and there's this revolving fields around it. And it's just pure energy. It's just beautiful. It's not a physical ship at all, because she is so advanced. But we also have a lot of photographs of metallic ships that are just, they're almost physical. You can tell they have a physical presence, and they're hovering right here, you know, right over the field here. So we have the whole nine yards. We have the, you know, the physical ships as well as the beautiful light ships that are coming in.
Well, that must have been really exciting for you to share this information at last. You know, you could get it out there. And you said Netflix might be carrying this. Is that correct?
I believe so. You know, you could go in there and put a call in for it. They're working on that. There's some other places that want to pick it up. I know it's on Amazon, you know, .com over there. They're carrying it now. And you know, the best place to get it is through our website. You know, it's... But I don't know if they've changed the prices yet on Amazon, but we have the best price right now for it.
Oh, good. So people can actually get it on eSETI.org.
Yeah, they can get everything. You know, we have all kinds of speakers that have come up here that are very, very powerful and dynamic speakers, and, you know, cutting-edge people in physics and higher consciousness and energy. And from all the... conferences we have here, we recorded their talks, and so those are available as well. And we have all of Michal Ledwith's information, which is just phenomenal.
You know what I like on your website is you have a forum where people actually can blog on.
Mm-hmm.
So people can get information from people who have been on at your ranch, and
yeah.
So that's a great aspect on your website.
And we just put that up recently, and, you know, we had a list of all the sightings and the people that have seen them, and we just put some of the major people up there. But it became a full-time job documenting it, you know, when you have 60 people sometimes or 20 people a night, and putting all that together and up, it was just so overwhelming that finally I just gave up on it. And I'm kind of at a point now where, you know, you either get it or you don't, and if you want to come out and experience it and have your own experience, great, but I'm kind of done with trying to prove that they're here to other people, and, you know, it's it's a matter of if you haven't figured it out by now that they're here, I don't know, you know where you've been, but we're more about teaching why they're here and, you know, working in the awakening healing process and helping people get clear and healed. That's our main focus. And, you know, creating a very sacred space here so eventually we can have the beings actually working with us side by side when we end the aggression and the negativity and create a safe space for them, they'll come. And when we have people that can work with them on their level that are evolved enough to deal with, they would gladly come and work with us. But unfortunately, right now, our political system is not very, well, it's very corrupt and not very peace-oriented, you might say. And we greet them with our military. You know, we send our best hardware up to greet them and try to shoot them down. And, you know, it's pretty messed up right now. And until people just say, you know, enough's enough and stop funding this stuff and stop participating in it, you know, they're not going to come and force themselves on us. That's not their way. You know,
James, what have they actually told you why they're here?
Well, I asked them, you know, what they're here for. The main reason, I said, why are you here? And they said, to release the past. And so I said, can you help give me a little more detailed information? And they said, well, your past is creating your tomorrow. And there's so many wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences and war energy and everything, even psychometrized into the land, that they're working with changing the frequencies of the planet itself and cleaning up a lot of this negativity and working with the fields. You know, like we live in a sea of consciousness and there's levels to that, and they're raising the collective consciousness and working with the energy bands around the earth. So they're doing all they can to assist us, but they have rules. They can't interfere in our, you know, divine right to free will and self-determination. But if we do collectively and individually ask for help and start moving in that direction and are sincere, they will come in and help and do whatever they can, you know, to help us. But, you know, as far as landing in your front lawn and coming down and having a cup of tea with you, that would probably be your worst nightmare, what would happen afterwards. So everybody goes, why don't they land, you know, and I'm ready, you know. It's, you know, basically get ready to lose your property, lose your freedom, and lose any semblance of privacy you ever had, you know, if that were to occur. So people need to be a little realistic about that until things change.
Well, we could have multiple.
That's happened.
We could have multiples throughout the earth at the same time, and then nobody would question.
Yeah. I'm all for it. You know, if it was up to me, I would just have them, you know, go through and scan the planet and, you know, get the tyrant frequency down and beam them all up and put them on a primitive planet full of predators and leeches, you know, and let them have their experience. But it's not up to me. They're a lot more loving and forgiving than I am, you might say. So.
Now, on your website, you have pictures of orbs.
Yes.
When did the orbs first start coming to the ranch, or were they always there?
You know, they've always been here, but because we've been engaging them and working with them, they're here in mass right now, and there's so many of them. And we've been doing a lot of research into this, and, you know, we've been getting them with straight emulsion film. So it's not a camera artifact. It's not just a matter of new digital cameras being able to film them. They've always been here, but the more you work with them and the more you engage them, they work with you. And now we have some infrared gear and we're filming them, and you can see that on the website. And we're filming these orbs actually interacting with people and swirling. And we had Robbie Williams here, and those who don't know him, he's like the Beatles over there in England. He's a major pop star. And they're all out in the field, and they were singing Beatles songs. It was very funny because most Beatles songs are very up and high energy. And all these orbs just showed up and started swirling over us and around us. And we filmed that. It was pretty amazing. But it's, you know, for those who are saying that it's just a snowflake or a dust particle or whatever, it makes no sense at all, because we have them flying behind trees with branches in front of them and showing that they are sizable, and we have some 30 feet wide, you know, that we've seen and photographed down to, you know, most of them are, you know, around, I would say, a, you know, around a foot wide.
Wow, that's wide.
Yeah, yeah, they're about a foot down to, we've had some that are probably a little bigger than a foot, you know, on down to very small, maybe just 2 or 3 inches.
Yeah, I've seen the 2 or 3 inches in my living room.
The orbs help with healing?
You know, they definitely can. They're higher dimensional beings. They're beyond our dimension, so they do have access to higher consciousness and energy, and they can help inspire and guide us and heal us. And, you know, we have some footage of these orbs coming down, and people that are sensitive, they come flying through, and they hit them right in the heart, and they go right through them. And these people's hands fly up, and they just start laughing and giggling and get higher than a kite. And it corresponds exactly when that orb hits them and moves through them. So it's quite interesting. I think it has a lot to do. We've had a lot of spontaneous healings here at the conferences and things where people are out in the field, and I'm sure the orbs are involved in that.
I know there's a lot of orbs filmed around crop circles.
Mm-hmm. And also healers, people that are very famous healers that have if you take a picture, anywhere people are just really having fun and they love, you know, just that pure joy and children. They love children. They hang around children a lot and animals. And but, you know, as soon as you get into the piousness and the heavy energy or the skeptical energy, they're gone. They don't want to deal with that. You know, any kind of that controlling or heavy energy.
Do you blame them?
Well, you know, I don't either. Somebody asked me about that. You know, this guy was demanding that the ships come and land in his yard and show themselves to him or they don't exist and pick him up and take him on their ship. And, you know, and I told him, I said, you know, I said, to be up front with you, I said, I don't even want to come to your house. And I said, and I really don't want you in my vehicle either, you know, with your attitude. And to be that demanding and controlling and skeptical and negative, I said, why? I said, if I don't really want to hang out with you, why would they? You know? And he kind of got really quiet.
James,
and I said,
we
it's
only
up
have
to you to rise to the occasion and initiate your own contact and be somebody worth contacting. It's not a matter of demanding that they make themselves known to you. It's what's the point, you know, in it for them? Why would they?
Well, we're out of time, so we want to let people know that they can see what you're all about and your ranch is all about if they go to your website, eceti.org. That's ECETI.
And do you want to give out a phone number, James?
Yeah, they can call us at 509-395-2092, or they can email us through the website, too.
What was the phone number again?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What was the phone number again?
Oh, it's 509-395-2092, and it's best to call first and not just show up here, because every once in a while we'll be gone, and we might even lock the gate or something. So,
and so
people are going to come, they need to let us know.
And people can actually camp there, right?
Oh, yeah, we have camping and really nice showers and bathrooms, and you know, camping's the best way to have the experience, because sometimes they wake you up at 4 in the morning and you step outside your tent and you see them.
Oh, we loved having you with us. It's too bad you have to go now, but we'll have you back on quick.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, James.
And people need to just go outside and put a loving, joyous thought out to them and watch the skies, because they're everywhere right now. I've never seen so many in the skies lately.
Okay.
Well, we'll do that. And have a great day, and thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Blessings to you.